Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I welcome Devin Moretti. And this young lady is a powerhouse of knowledge and truth bombs that were shared in this chat. And I just think she's, honestly, I think she's the most fantastic, highly articulate young woman I've met in a while. That's actually, I probably shouldn't say that because the truth is, in the past 2 to 3 weeks, I've interviewed several young women under the age of probably 23, and I have been so impressed with their maturity, with their life experience, and what they've chosen to do, and the example that they are choosing to set, and how passionate they are about helping others. So that's an awesome thing that we have so many of those individuals. And it doesn't mean to say that it's just the young ones that are wowing me and us. That certainly is an ageless opportunity. And we have all kinds of age, experience, and backgrounds on this Fitfluential Radio. So keep tuning in. But this was really another show that ended up going in the direction that we clearly need to go in more of the direction of, and that is eating disorders and body image, or positive body image in particular. It's really become clear the more that we have started talking about this and asking our community about this, if they deal with these issues, of whether it's on the eating disorder side or disordered eating, or if it's on the side of body dysmorphia or just negative body image, or not taking care of your body because you view it in such a negative light. All of those things can easily overlap, and many of us will sadly deal with multiple areas, right? But it's wonderful to see such a young woman having found an answer to this, and she alludes just such confidence and optimism and passion. And she's so real and so genuine. You're going to love hearing from her. And hopefully, we hope to have her back on the show. We talk about everything from binge eating to diet pills, and really just how Devin got past that point about where so many women at a young age are obsessing over media images of celebrities or even folks in the fitness space, and how she kind of got past that whole comparison trap. It's really a fantastic interview, and I think she's going to motivate the hell out of you. So I'm going to be quiet now and let you guys sit back and enjoy this interview with Devin Moretti. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I welcome Devin Moretti, one of the coolest names that I've ever been able to say on the show, which is the truth. Devin, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm thrilled to be here. And for everybody who's listening, you know, I talked about her in the intro, but I know that we're going to be talking about body image today, body positivity, and self-care. And it's a topic that we've been covering a lot. We've had so many women write in after hearing that we've been discussing this, because when we polled our audience, just early polling of our Fitfluential community showed that 75 to 80% of people either know or are dealing with disordered eating and body image issues. And so it certainly is something I think it needs to be addressed, and we need to have great, strong women that maybe have struggled with this in the past, but have found a way past it and are great examples. And I can say that Devin is one of those. And when you go to her site, I promise you, you're gonna go to her site, and just when you first look at it, which I know I said this, Devin, when we started, but just at the top of her site, which she designed itself, her tagline up there is "Eat, lift, live, love yourself." I just absolutely love that. And so I'm really excited for folks to get to know you, Devin. And let's start off with how you got into fitness. I always ask you know, guests that are on the show for the first time to share with our community. When was it for you that you started becoming interested in fitness, whether that was eating healthier or working out? When was that for you and why? And then when did you find your fitness? When did you find your happy place? For some people, it's all at once. For some people, it can be later. What's your story to that respect?
Right. So growing up, my mom put me in every sport imaginable except soccer. and I honestly did not like anything. And then I transferred schools in high school. So at a very young age, and I stopped playing sports, even though I didn't like any of them to begin with. And I just kind of stopped being active. And growing up, I was also constantly around someone who shamed herself and like idolized, you know, quote unquote, perfect bodies. I was always reading magazines. I was obsessed with the Victoria's Secret fashion show. And in high school, that played a huge role in my life. I started to become obsessed with being thin and wanting to look a certain way because I thought that meant I would be more worthy, more beautiful. I would accept myself. I would have more confidence. I'd be more successful. And that developed into an eating disorder. And I severely struggled with my body image. I was constantly working out as a form of punishment to change the way I looked or to eat, burn off all the food I was eating. I was constantly following restrictive diets. So I would, you know, follow something, I would fall off and then I'd binge. I struggled with binge eating. I would take diet pills, do all of these crazy things just because I wanted to look a certain way. And the sad part about it is I was down to anywhere from 100 and 110 pounds, very small. And I still felt like I was fat. And I felt like if I gained weight, I wouldn't be worthy. And so it just like, I struggled with that for a long time until actually 2 years ago. And eventually along my journey, I realized, you know what, no matter how lean you're getting, you're still unhappy. So this is definitely a deeper issue. And I realized that it wasn't actually being lean that I wanted. It was just, I wanted to feel confident in my body.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Well, I have to give you credit. And you're so young. How old are you right now?
23.
I mean, you're to have this, like the clarity that you've had at such a young age. I mean, I think of myself at 23, I was down in South Padre Island on spring break. I still hadn't graduated from college. My parents were like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And I really, you know, I, my mom says, Kelly, you're just a late bloomer. You were always a late bloomer. To have such clarity, to be able to step back and go, there's a deeper issue here. That's, I think, the way you said it.
Right.
And to say, well, here's what I really want. I mean, that's really ultimately a big part of what I think all of us need to be able to get comfortable doing. And it's not just in regards to your fitness and your health and your wellness. If this can apply to any of your area of your life, you've got to be able to almost, I call it like being your own therapist, talk to yourself and go, okay, I'm upset. Why do I view myself this way? Why am I beating myself up? Why is it, you know, for example, and I've shared with other people, I don't know what it is with me. One of my food binge eating issues is if I get mad and I'm really mad about something and I don't know if it's, I'm punishing myself, I'm immediately like, that's it. I'm going to order a pizza. That's right. I'm going to go to Burger King.
Yeah.
And you got to figure out like, why do I do that? So I'm curious with you when you had a couple of years ago, when you had this, you know, this beginning of this aha moment, you know, so you were about 21, right?
Yeah, I was about 21.
Were there a lot of, you know, you talk a lot about the people that you were around when you were younger and that they had disordered thoughts. They were comparing themselves to magazines and media images. And so that was your input. And I'm curious when you had this aha moment and decided like things have to be different and I'm going to treat myself differently. I'm assuming that was the beginning for you. Were you surrounded by people? What was their reaction to that decision that you made or that aha moment that you had?
Well, you know, I was actually best friends with someone and we both struggled with the exact same thing. And we kind of fed off of each other. We actually just recently talked about this. We fed off each other and it was almost like a competition of who could get over their eating disorder first.
That's awesome.
And we realized that it wasn't serving either of us and it was affecting our friendship and it was just making the situation worse. And it made us feel more shameful for when we did binge. And I think that happens for a lot of people is the minute they binge, they beat themselves up and they're like, oh, I'm failing at this. I can't get over my eating disorder, without realizing that it's really hard to overcome that. And there are going to be slip ups and that's okay. But to guide with compassion and not guilt and shame, realizing that I needed to change the relationship I had with my body and with food. It started with just realizing, I mean, one, that I wanted to be confident in my body, and two, that my eating disorder, when I tried to turn it around, I had to ask myself, why do I binge? And it came down to, because I feel like I'm always restrictive dieting because I want to look a certain way. And then I binge and I fall off because I can't stick to those restrictive diets. And all of this just stemmed from me having an unhealthy relationship with my body. And then once I started to, I was like, okay, I'm going to heal my relationship with my food. Then that's when I started to heal my relationship with my body. So it all kind of started with me wanting to heal my relationship with my food, with food, and not constantly having it control my life, because I was starting to pass up social opportunities. This was another thing that factored into it. I would pass up social opportunities. I was turning 21. I would get stressed out and not go out with my friends if I wanted to like drink, because I was just had this fear around gaining weight.
There's so many similarities to other guests of all kinds of backgrounds that have been on the show. And just what you said, the passing up of social opportunities. This is, I mean, everything you're saying is what I liken it to, probably poor choice, but you know, they say a lobster, you know, you put a lobster in boiling water and they, it starts off not boiling it, but they don't feel it. Right. It's like, it's a slow and all of a sudden you're in boiling water. And metaphorically think about that with a lot of these issues that happen with women. And of course they can happen with men as well. We always want to address this on these shows, because you mentioned you want to treat these issues in these, it's disordered thinking with compassion, not shame. And that can come from the way we treat ourselves in recognizing I have disordered eating, I'm binging, I'm, you know, got these self-loathing thoughts. We have to be compassionate with ourselves and not, you know, drive ourselves into shame, which is very common. But also for everybody listening, if you know somebody who is maybe, you know, very slim, very underweight, it's very easy sometimes to be very judgmental and to look at those people and think, just, you know, like a girl that I interviewed last week, she said, the last thing you want to do to somebody that you think has an eating disorder is go, come on, eat a cheeseburger, you know, because nobody wants to be in that phase. And I guess that's my next question for you. When you were in the midst of, and your friend was very similar to, you know, she's binging, it sounds like, and you both had these issues. Were you happy? You know, how did you feel every day? Were you just miserable? And were you maybe aware at all, like that you were on a cycle that was very destructive?
Yeah, I was definitely aware, and I was not happy at all. I was constantly, like I said, just, I was alone a lot because I didn't want to go out with my friends. I didn't want to go to family functions that involved food. And I realized it was taking me away from my social life, which is really important to me. I am an extrovert and I love being around people. And the fact that my eating disorder was taking me away from that was really troubling to me. And I would also, aside from passing up social opportunities, I wouldn't go to the pool or the beach. And I love going to the pool and I love going to the beach, but I wouldn't go because I felt too insecure in my body to wear a bikini. And I felt like I wasn't worthy enough to wear that unless I looked a certain way. And all of this. So I was just really upset about this entire situation. And I didn't know how to work through it or get past it for a long time. And I thought I was alone. I thought I was the only one who felt like this, because all my friends would go to the pool. I'm like, and all of them would drink. And I'm like, why can't I do this and feel normal?
Mm. You mentioned how isolating it was, how isolating it feels. And it can be, because you then, I mean, everything you just said, avoiding the beach, avoiding parties, analyzing whether you're going to go on a date or to this party because you're right. counting the calories, or how can I go? And then you're thinking, well, I'm not going to eat. And then people will criticize me because I'm not eating. How do I handle it? Everything becomes this horrible, and there's a lot of fear. Yeah. All of this creates a tremendous amount of anxiety and stress, and it becomes this snowball, because the more that you hate yourself and loathe yourself, and then you have these bad behaviors,
right.
binging, purging, whatever it is, then you feel guilty about doing that. Then you feel, or, you know, if you're binging and not purging, you feel guilty because you've done the behavior. Then you feel physically like stuffed. There's mm-hmm. all these things, and it's just a cycle, you know, yeah. binge, shame, guilt, then probably more, and then more self-loathing. And then there's just the overall stress and anxiety, and it just becomes huge. And like you said, it overrides everything in your life. Holidays yeah. come around, right? I mean, how did you deal with holidays when you were in that phase?
Actually just binge on everything. And then I'm like, oh, well, I'll start over on the new year.
Right. Or Monday. You're like, I might as well use Thanksgiving weekend. I'm going to eat everything. I'm going to eat all the things.
Yeah.
And then start over Monday.
And then it was hard to like re-overcome that. And get back to my normal routine. And honestly, one of the first aha moments I had was a guy I was, you know, starting to get to know and talk to asked me out on a date. And he asked me out sporadically late at night before dinner. And I had already eaten the majority. At the time I was counting my macros, I had already eaten the majority of my macros, and I didn't have much room left over to eat without going over. So I called my friend and I was like, he really wants to go on a date with me, but I don't know what to do. Because I just can't overeat my macros, and I'm going to gain weight. And I was just like rambling on. And she goes, Devin, listen to yourself right now. You really like this guy. You really want to get to know him, and you're going to pass up going out to a lovely dinner with him all because you might go over some of your macros. And all of a sudden, just those words hit me. And I'm like, this has got to come to an end. I cannot revolve my life around fitness and nutrition.
So true. That's another reason why I'm so committed, both myself as an individual. I'm sharing. It took me a lot to get to the point. I remember, I don't know when it was, when I was regularly doing my YouTube videos, and when I started it was like this big gulp moment for me to share my weight, because I had this mental relentless punishing of myself of, why, Kelly, do you not weigh 123 pounds or 113 pounds? It always ended in three. I don't know why. And then, you know, it was just this, I can't tell people what I really weigh, and I'm not good enough until I weigh a certain thing. And I can say with pride to everybody that I'm 5'5" and I weigh 123 pounds. It's ridiculous, because I remember at the time, you know, when I met, probably it was Whitney Jones, and she's like, why do you think 123 at 5'5 is reasonable? It'd be more like 135 is what I would aim for you. And I'm looking at Whitney Jones. She's, you know, figure competitor. She's got this wonderful physique. And I'm like,
right,
that's too much. But you don't, if you don't, the reason that I want to start sharing my story and these struggles and share, get so many folks like you on the show and to address this, is just what you said. Too many people think they're alone. They're the only ones that are dealing with these issues, these massive insecurities. You're not. And the more that we talk about it, more people will become comfortable talking about it. And let's get real. Like you said, when you have that aha moment, you have that friend who can go, Devin, seriously, listen to yourself.
Yeah.
If you're going at it alone, you're never going to really say that to yourself. You're not going to go, seriously? That's the unfortunate part. Is that you're likely not. Some people can have that own aha moment, but it's really difficult. And so thank God your friend said something to you. What were some of the first things that you started to do to change things around? And I'm going to keep it real too, because a lot of people that are maybe realizing, okay, I have that problem, then let's get real. You're going to have that fear of if you say, okay, I'm going to chill out about food, and I'm just going to not worry about counting my macros for a week, or I'm going to not worry about carbs. Then immediately in your head, let's get real, you're going to go, I'm going to gain weight. You have these contradictory trains of thought going on inside your head. So what did you decide to do differently in your life? And then how did you deal with, I'm guessing you probably had some fears, like, I'm going to ruin everything. This is not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really scary for most people who come from struggling with their body image to gain weight. And I think the first thing I did was try to heal my relationship with food. And so I stopped restrictive dieting. I stopped dieting in general. And whenever because I struggle with binge eating, usually what triggered me to binge is the feeling of restriction. So the first thing I did was every time I felt like I wanted to eat something, I allowed myself to have it sometimes. And eventually, at one point in the summer, I was eating a donut every single day. And that
just a donut? Did you say a donut? Because I have an issue with eating a donut.
So that was a practice, but I loved donuts at the time. I mean, I still love them, but not nearly as much. Mm. But I allowed myself to have a donut whenever I wanted them, and that was ironically every single day. Sometimes I would be able to have one, while other times I would slip up and end up one donut would escalate into six donuts. But when that happened, I'm like, okay, just give myself compassion. This is okay. I slipped up, but I'm doing better. I'm making progress. So talking more kindly to myself, I also, during this phase of realizing I was going to gain weight, I unfollowed everybody in the fitness industry and everybody who triggered me or made me feel less. And that was really hard because I look up to a lot of people or I like them, but I also had to tell myself I can refollow them once I'm in a better state of mind. But doing that and taking myself away from seeing constant images that reminded me that I was gaining weight or that triggered me to want to diet or exercise to change the way I looked was helpful. Mm-hmm. And then also finding a form of movement that made me happy. So I stopped doing cardio and just mm-hmm. focused on lifting weights because that's what I loved. And honestly, cardio on a machine reminds me of my past because in the beginning I was constantly spending 30 to 60 minutes on a cardio machine trying to burn off the food I ate. So it was kind of just taking away things that triggered me. Hmm. Those were the three biggest things that helped me start to get to where I am now. With self-love being a really popular topic now, which is great because I think it's helpful and it's going to create a huge impact. I also think sometimes people get really down on themselves when they're like, oh, everybody on social media is talking about how much they love themselves and I'm not there yet. And they also think it's this overnight shift of you wake up and you look in the mirror and you're like, hot damn, I just feel great today and every single day. But that's not the truth because there are still days when I wake up and I'm like, ugh, I'm having a bad body image day, or when I just feel triggered or certain things come up. And I think it's just realizing that that's okay. And that's all part of the journey and not every day is going to be rainbows and butterflies, and that self-love and self-acceptance is a constant practice that doesn't happen overnight. It took me 2 years to get to where I am today. And I still, again, have those body image days.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and the accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now. It's like a muscle that you have to work, you know, and that you make a really good point because, in fact, the gals I interviewed before you, we were talking about these same images. can't talk, these same issues. And they were saying the same things, which is, you know, you'll have your ups and downs. You're going to have times when you backslide. You can be the most positive, body accepting, like, yeah. And then you can have a day. I referenced that in my interview with them. It was a couple weeks ago, and I was getting ready to go down to my man friend's house in San Antonio, and I was packing, I was rushing, and I had one of those days, we all have them, where no matter what I put on, it was tight. And I, therefore, in my head, was convincing myself that I must, and I started, I know, Devin, that you're going to know exactly what this mindset is.
Yeah.
Everything I put on was tight. And so I immediately started going, what did I eat this week? What have I been eating? How much? And I went and I go and I'm looking at my workout calendar and I'm like, how much have I worked out? Do I need to add more cardio? Mm-hmm. And it's just this automatic, like, instead of going what we naturally know, because the rational side of us that, you know, especially if we have any kind of fitness exposure, you're a trainer, I'm not certified, but I'm around trainers all the time, right? I know that we can have fluctuations in body weight and retaining, you know, retaining water, but that was not rational. Kelly was outside.
That's not what comes into mind when you're going through those moments.
Yeah. And you have to. So for everybody listening, like, I'm sharing that not because I think it's cool and funny, but because the reality is, you know, I'm getting much better at dealing with my disordered thoughts around food. I've definitely lingered in the area where I've labeled foods. I've obsessed about foods. I'm getting much better and much more relaxed. Mm-hmm. And I am realizing how much, when I stop obsessing, like you said, when I'm like, hey, I'm like the man and I, we went for a hike and then we went to this great wings place and we had nachos for an appetizer, and old Kelly, like, that's what I refer to old Kelly in so many ways. Like, old Kelly would have been like, oh my God, that's cheese sauce and there's barbecue sauce in there. And then
how many calories are in this? How many cardio am I gonna have to do tomorrow?
And how much, these are corn tortillas. So that's high carbs. That's going to elevate my blood sugar. And then there's this. And what? So I did 2 hours, but that really wasn't weights. Do I need to go home and lift weights? And then you think about, what should I order for the salad that I'll say. And I just chilled out.
It's just creating unneeded stress.
And the stress. So here's something, and I bet you can speak to this as well, because you have clients, you're a personal trainer that you train in person. You also have online programs that we'll link up to at the end of the show today. But, you know, there's a metaphorical thing to consider in the big picture of this conversation for everybody listening. But there's also a realistic point or points to consider, and that's this. There really is truth, and we're going to have a lot of experts on the show and then real people that can share this example, which is when you are stressing and obsessing about your cardio, about your fitness, about what you eat, that stress and anxiety alone, when that's tied to elevating your cortisol. Now, again, I'm not the doctor or the trainer that can speak to that as scientifically as others, but there is actually, it's not just like, hey, when you don't stress, your body will relax. It really is true. Like, when you obsess and you punish your body, that's creating just as much damage as potentially the actual food. Do you have a lot of clients you deal with that you have to explain that situation to them as well?
Yeah, I do. It's also just helping them. I constantly remind them not to overthink things. Too often we just overthink everything, even the littlest things that don't factor into anything. And so it's constantly just reminding yourself that you don't have to overthink everything. And if you have a burger, it's not the end of the world. You just move on and continue, versus if you have a burger, stress out, and then you end up binging. It just creates, it just trickles into this whole scenario that is unneeded and just makes the situation worse.
Yeah, it's a process. And I love that you brought it up, that this is not, it's not overnight. It certainly is not. It's kind of like fitness, right? If you decide that you're going to get fit and get a gym membership in January, like everybody, you don't get to say, well, I'm going to go to the gym for, you know, 10 days and then I'm fit. It's an ongoing thing. Same thing with mindset and your mindset. You know, if you fix your mindset in this area, believe me, it's going to bleed over into other areas of life. I will say this, and I'm curious if you would agree. You know, I'm much older than you. I'm 49 and I'm not, you know, I don't say that with a bad thing. I love my age and I'm happier about how I feel and how I look at 49 than I did at 29. And that's, That's due to a lot of things. That's due to leading a healthy lifestyle. But more importantly, I think a lot of the changes that I've made in my life, this being some of them, you know, this big overwhelming topic, how I view myself and having happiness and joy in my life, that those are big things, right?
I agree. I think it's all about redefining what makes you happy. I think we are really independent of relying on other people's external validation, and doing what everybody else is doing and doing what we think we need to do, especially with health and fitness. Like, you have to do this, but there's like a myriad of ways in which you can lose weight or maintain a healthy lifestyle. And it doesn't have to look like what everybody else is doing. And when you find what makes you happy, it's a million times easier to stick to it.
God, that's so true. And there's so many things. We have to have you back on the show because I have two pages of notes that I took here while we were talking, but here's my last question for you. And it's just really a simple one because this is my observation. So when I was your age, when I was in my early 20s, of course, social media was not around,
right.
But the media images, if you will, like what was pouring into my mind at that time was really a lot from magazines. And then maybe, you know, I think back then we used to actually watch like Entertainment Tonight and, you know, if we wanted the celebrity dish, right? Mm-hmm. And back then, I just remember in high school and college, the look that everybody wanted was skinny. And it was just, you know, trying to be a size zero. I remember that watching movies and television, it became, and then, you know, People Magazine or Us Weekly, they would always reference the sizes of female celebrities. And they would say, oh, and at first it was always an 8 or a 6. And then it got to be a 6 and a 4. And then it got to be a 4 and a 2. And then a 2 and a 0. Same thing with models.
Yeah.
And you'd read about, they'd say, oh, well, you know, all of these models, they're, you know, Christy Turlington is a size 4. And then the next year, it's like this person, they're a size -. So for me, when I was, you know, becoming a young woman, right? Like that's what I aspired to was skinny, skinny, skinny.
Yeah,
I feel like, and I'm looking at your website right now and you have these, you're just a stunning, beautiful girl. You're very curvy. You've got a beautiful body. And I just think that it's nice to see that there's so much more diversity in females' bodies. And do you feel like there's more of that where people are not, I don't see as much judgment that there was, when I was growing up, it was you're either skinny or you're not skinny. And now there's so many beautiful body types and it seems like there's respect for all of them. Do you agree or that it's getting there?
I think it's getting there for sure. It's definitely getting there, but there are still, you know, people who shame you if you don't have a big butt or
right.
if you don't have, you know, so-and-so this desired feature. And my friend also pointed out to me the other day that sometimes curvier girls are more accepted if they have, you know, a bigger butt or bigger boobs because it somehow evens out or it's curves in the right places, you know?
Mm.
And so I think I think it's just really important that we admire all body types and bring more body types into the media to help step away from, you know, either looking really lean and not being okay or being curvy, but you have to have these features in order for you to be accepted. So yes, I do think that more body types are becoming accepted, but it's still, some are deemed as unworthy or not as accepting.
It's so true. And I remember actually last night on Instagram, you know, I stumbled on this, cause I'm always looking for, you know, new folks that can join our influencer community and so on. So if I see somebody, I'll screenshot it and we reach out to them. But this one girl, she had a post up and she was basically showing like a picture of her 2 years ago and she was tiny. She was like this, you know, and she was in college and then a picture of her now and she's working out and she's, you know, she said, I'm 20 pounds heavier. And then she was showing this picture and the second picture when she's quote unquote heavier, she's, you know, doing that pose where she's like looking in the mirror, like it's like a butt look. She's like, the sad thing is that my mindset in the second picture was still so bad that all I could do was look in the mirror and go, my butt isn't big enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, on one hand, I have to say, I was born with junk in the trunk. Okay. I've had it since, you know, I was in fifth grade and I've tried to hide it most of my life because again, when I was growing up, you were not supposed to have a butt. You were not supposed to have thighs. It was such a different environment when
it's completely different. My grandma, she's always like, where'd this butt come from and why do you have it? Because my grandma, she's just like all about being lean. That's just where she grew up from. And I don't take it personally.
I'm over it, but I just remember when this first happened and when I would first see things and they're like, you know, all these people having plastic surgery to enhance their butt. And I'm like, I have literally, like when I was your age and I went out to the bars, we would wear a tank top and shorts and a big black blazer because we wanted to cover up our butt and go, hey, look up here. I've got boobs. Don't look at my butt. Don't look at my butt. And it's just so funny that now I'm, you know, and to think that this, what this woman was saying is back to you, which is we should appreciate all our sizes, not go, okay, well, now I've got to get my butt thick and big. Like, why does it have to be a certain size?
I also think when you bring awareness to the fact that what bodies are accepted and what aren't are constantly changing by the media, you can start to step away from that and being like, I'm tired of dealing with what I should and shouldn't look like and how it's constantly training or changing. And I'm just going to be happy with myself and decide what I want to look like and how I want to show up in the world.
Amen. Devin, for everybody listening, tell them where they can find you online.
I am on Instagram the most, and it's just Devin Day Moretti. And then my website's the same, devindaymoretti.com. Pretty creative, if you will. On my Instagram and on my website, you can sign up for my free body confidence course as well.
That's awesome. And you will love it. You will love her site when you go there and her Instagram presence. And Devin, it's just seriously, it's been a pleasure. You have such clarity and maturity in talking about these issues at such a young age. So I commend you on that. You're setting a great example. I mean, you're clearly what I would say is the definition of fitfluential. And I'd love to have you back on the show.
Thank you. I'd love to be back on.
And we'll talk about donuts too. Maybe we'll get a donut sponsor.
All right.
that would be awesome. I'm totally thinking about donuts at the end of the day today. So anyway, for everybody tuning in, I hope this show was helpful. And of course, as I mentioned before, we will be addressing this topic with any number of real life stories like Devin, as well as some experts that can talk about maybe more the psychological side of body image and, you know, how we address that, how we get past that. If you have questions for when Devin is back on the show or just on this topic in general, whether it's body image, negative self-talk, binge eating, you know, eating disorders, anything that we can address specifically for you. We'll keep your name private unless you give us permission to use it, but email us podcast@fitfluential.com. We would love to make sure that we're serving you and answering your questions. But for now, I hope this episode was helpful. We certainly enjoyed having Devin on the show and we will see you next time on Fitfluential Radio.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.